Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today is our FKT of the Year episode, and I am joined by our FKT of the Year winners for a conversation about their journeys on trail and off. But first, our top fives for 2025 are, in fifth place, David Hedges for his Nolan's 14, Lucy Gossage for the Southwest Coast Path in the United Kingdom. In fourth place is Killian Journay for his Norman's 13 in California, and Lila Harrod for her Appalachian Trail AT record. Third place is William Buffelli for Mont Blanc, and Paulina Zeck for the Tay Aurora Trail. In second place is Carl Sabe for his Tay Aurora Trail, and Carol Morgan for her Wainwright's 214 in the UK. And our first place winner for the second year in a row goes to Tara Dower for her Long Trail FKT in Vermont, and to Jeff Garmeyer for his Appalachian Trail record. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I'm really excited to chat with you both again.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and congratulations. It's really awesome that you guys are our FKT of the Year winners this year.
Oh, so stoked.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, to come from where you spend a lot of time outdoors and in the middle of nowhere and to be so present and immersed in it, and then you come out the other side and then it's like, oh yeah, FKTs are public and people vote on them and stuff. It's kind of a crazy concept when they're so solitary and self-driven for most of them.
That's actually a really great segue into my first question for you guys. And maybe Jeff, you can go first. But what has your recovery been like, not just physically, but just the post-trail, the post-FKT experience over the last couple of months?
Yeah, it's really crazy because you get off and your body's destroyed and mentally you're adjusting. And then what I've used the last 15 years of my life is like going outdoors and doing stuff. And so it was a really tough couple weeks. And then finally it was like, okay, we need to start going out and just hiking or doing something in nature, because that's been the reprieve. And like my favorite thing in the world is just being outside. And so I just had to kind of find that space again. And no matter the movement within it, that's sort of what I focused on with the recovery. I know like aches and pains and muscles and stuff like that, it'll heal up and stuff, but it was the mental side that was like, I can't just give up this one thing that has really led me to this point. And so, yeah, it was a big shift on like, it's okay to go move my body because that's what I need mentally.
Definitely. I feel like too, there's this sort of paradox of you've been operating at this super high level. And so after a couple of days of rest, you feel sort of antsy and like you need to be going really hard still, but your body also is like, no, I want to sleep. So there's this push and pull. And like you said, this mental thing of like, well, now I'm all dysregulated because now I'm not in the woods and I'm not, you know, being outdoors and finding ways to be outdoors, to move your body, but not tax your body and still allow it to heal. It can be actually very complicated.
Yeah. You no longer have an excuse not to answer emails and texts. It's tough.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's my least favorite part, coming back. And then there's all this media and everybody wants to talk to you. And I'm like, I would like to sleep and go back into the woods, please.
Yeah.
Tara, how about you? You came off the Long Trail and then you had a couple of really big races.
Yeah.
And now you've got really big races coming up. So can you talk a little bit about what the experience has been like for you?
Yeah. I just want to comment on the recovery for the long multi-week FKT, what Jeff just did on the AT. And yeah, you were mentioning this, how odd it is to recover from that. It's so different than recovering from a long trail, like the three under a week. It's just like it's very different. Your body by that point has gotten used to the like every day, at least mine did. I don't want to speak for everyone, but got used to that and it got stronger. But then like you finish and you're like destroyed, but you're also like, well, I feel like I should be moving, but you don't, you can't, or you don't want to. But yeah, for the long trail, recovery for the long trail obviously is different. I think I thought I was more recovered because I went to do Mammoth 200 and I was not ready for that. My body was not ready. I thought I was ready. I wasn't. And then I really leaned into recovery for the entire month of October and just like was a pro at recovery and eating and resting and like sitting down more and sleeping more, which was important. And that's what I should have been doing after the long trail. I kind of rushed back into it a little too fast. Didn't recognize signs of not being fully recovered.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are a lot of us watching that were just like, maybe Tara, don't do a 200 so fast.
Yeah, I should have. Yeah, that was not the right choice.
But also we were all just like, if anybody can do this, it's definitely Tara. So, you know.
200s are hard. 200s are freaking hard, dude.
Yeah, I haven't done one, but I can imagine you guys have both done 200s.
They're so hard.
Yeah. So, Tara, I know you just got into the double Western States Hard Rock. So are you currently still resting? Are you back to training? Are you taking some of these lessons learned from the Long Trail Mammoth Combo into preparation for that? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Man, I'm so stoked. It's like an absolute dream. It's beyond a dream. It's so exciting. I never thought I'd be here in 2021 when I was getting into FKTs and, well, 2020 really, getting into FKTs and getting into racing. It's just like beyond comprehension. So I'm just like so thankful. I want to say that first. But yeah, like as far as going into that, I'm going to be doing a couple races, like two races before Western States, hoping to do Black Canyon and then a shorter 50K somewhere. And yeah, I'm back into training. Today, I'm back in Durango after being in Thailand and Seattle and kind of acclimating back into 6,500 feet is a little daunting, but my legs feel good. And I always love being outside and running and hiking and being in nature. So it's just like, I need it. Being out there just feels good.
Jeff, how about you? Are you training again? What is that looking like for you?
Oh, yeah. I just can't get enough. It's been like an unseasonably warm winter and the trails are dry and I am just so stoked. It's the best part of my day. I'm like maybe on them too much, but yeah, I don't know. It's just been because there was definitely some post-trail depression that hit pretty hard. And then at one point it was just like, I know what I love to do. Why am I being so worried about doing it? And so I just kind of let myself go and eased into it with a lot of hiking and then adding in running. And I've just been having so much fun doing that. It's all the surrounding stuff that makes life messy, but just turning my phone off and running on trails, even if it's like laps of a small hill here, just, I don't know, the trails, it's just like my favorite thing to do. So I would say training, but also just like really accepting that I'm enjoying it and letting myself just go out and enjoy it.
Were you guys in touch about your record before you went out and set it? Jeff, had you reached out to Tara or Tara, did you reach out to Jeff?
Jeff, you reached out, right? We talked a little bit before. I don't know if we talked extensively. We talked a lot during or like when he was in the Southeast.
Yeah, we talked a little bit. Not a ton of strategizing, but we talked a little bit. And then especially the last maybe third of it, Tara was really nice with some supportive texts and stuff and how to attack the Smokies as my body was falling apart. So definitely at that point when really needed to reach out, but not so much going into it. Yeah, it was the right amount of communication at the perfect amount of time, I think.
Right.
Yeah. And that was all thanks to Allison too. She was like, she kept prodding me. I'm not a huge texter. And so like, I should have reached out before, but she's like, hey, Allison was like, hey, you should really reach out to Jeff. And that first time I did, thanks to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you get when you have two people that love being in the woods and are not big texters? People who don't text each other.
Right. Yeah. I was just thinking, because I know last year, Tara, when you were out there, there were so many times I wanted to text you, but I was also just like, I don't know, she's in this thing. She's really deep. She's in her headspace. I don't need to be taking away from that, you know? And then this year, I know I texted you a couple of times, Jeff, and kind of the same thing of, you know, because I also just like to be in the woods with my phone off. And so knowing that the balance of, is this encouraging or is this taking away from the experience? it's, you know.
I think that's the million-dollar question on, like, you can separate yourself and you have this great excuse to not respond when you're out there. Like, I think we've both passed off our Instagram and social media to other people so you can be so in it. But then also there is that huge boost when someone does, you know, offer some support and stuff too. And I think it's just a tricky puzzle on what the right amount of that is. And because you are creating your own experience that no one else gets to have out there, but also people are pretty important, motivating and valuable in life too. So I don't, maybe Tara has it all figured out, but I do not know the right amount. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I really appreciate texts from anyone. It's just like the matter of responding, I guess. But I think I get the most encouraged from like people like Liz Durstein and you and Jeff, because you guys know what it's like and it's hard. And that's really encouraging when somebody's like, you're doing really well. Keep going.
I remember when I was on the AT, Jen Varr Davis sent me a couple messages and I definitely didn't respond to her, but they were really important to me at the time because I was like, well, she knows what this is like. So it was nice to get a text from somebody. You guys had very different hikes this year. Obviously, Tara's, yours was, you know, a shorter hike, not short, but shorter. And it was supported. And Jeff, yours was incredibly long and self-supported. But I kind of want to just hear your thoughts and perceptions of the overall reaction to your record, how people have responded to your record. Was it what you expected? Was it not what you expected? Tara, do you want to start?
Yeah, that's a great question. I hate to go back to the AT, you know, this is about the long trail, but people obviously after that were like surprised and baffled, mainly that a woman could do that. And I think, you know, it reached a lot of corners, a lot of different corners. Like I've had people reach out from different countries and people like my cousin has a friend in finance and they heard about it on a finance podcast. So like it reached a lot of corners. And so I think when the long trail happened, I think people were delighted, but not surprised. Yeah, it was, the reception was good. Obviously, there's always those people that are like, she's on performance enhancing drugs. There's no way that can happen. And those are always like reassuring about like the difficulty of the effort. It's because, it was really hard. And it's a hard record. And for someone to think that I'm like on performance enhancing drugs is just, in order to complete it, I'd have to be on those. It's really, it's like, cool. Yeah, I wasn't, but thanks for thinking that because it's so difficult that you have to. But yeah, I would say the reception was mostly positive. People are stoked to see, you know, another overall record being taken over by a woman. So I think people are stoked on that.
Jeff, how about you?
Yeah, that is a really interesting question. I think, I don't know it. So I finish and then I think there's just this such a stark contrast of that world and moving in that way. And this, you know, everything is centered around moving forward and efficiently. And then you get off and it feels like everything's loud and I don't know, voices on like capitalize on certain things and whether people are pushing you to, I don't know, do all sorts of obligations and stuff. And I mean, very muted compared to Tara's stuff. But I think that was the hard thing on like, while you're trying to figure out how it changed you and the impact this adventure had and what you learned about yourself through the whole process, while you're working through that, you're expected to just relive the moments that are exciting to other people. But usually those are a lot more mundane or less impactful on you in the adventures, such as like seeing a bear or wildlife or hallucinating. So I could probably hallucinated on adventures 100 times in my life. It's not, those are the fun stories to talk about, but I'm working through the things about the raw emotional moments that I felt out there and this way that no one else is around. So I can be this true, authentic, real version of myself without any doubt or judgment from other people. It's like, I'm trying to hold on to those things, but that's not what everyone wants to talk about. So I think it's a really hard period when people are looking at an accomplishment or something like that, because usually what means the most to you and why you're out there and the things you found along the way are not the things that would make any sense to anyone else out there, which I think is why it's so valuable to get texts or communicate with people who've actually been out there and done that, because you leave these things a slightly different version of yourself, and then you have to plug that new version back into the world you left when everyone else is pretty much the same version they were when you left.
That was always the hardest thing for me coming back from an FKT, was the immediate request from media. And I was like, I don't want to talk to anyone. I am a mess right now. I have to put myself back together mentally, because all these things happened that aren't anything you want to hear about. Jeff, you really kind of nailed my experience there. Like, absolutely. And it can be difficult to balance that and respond.
Yeah.
I felt a similar way to what you guys are describing. But over time, as I did the 25th, 26th, 27th podcast, it was just like podcasts every day, I started to like feel like I was processing it in real time with these podcasters. I feel like there was like this timeline of processing. And this was for the Appalachian Trail. And it's like, oh, well, eventually it's helping me kind of process my experience. Even if I am talking about how many calories I ate a day, how many hours I slept or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I had the bold idea to just use my own podcast to just talk for like 30 minutes at a time. So I think people just watch me process it alone to myself in the camera for a while. And I think it's very, very funny way to do it for someone who is fairly private. It's like, no one's watching. It's just me. Right.
Right. I don't know. I feel like I would just end up going back and deleting that if I did that, because I would later on be like, oh my God, what did I do? Jeff, do you have any thoughts on, you know, this was a huge FKT for you, Jeff, and it was self-supported. Did you feel like there's a difference in reception when you've done self-supported FKTs versus supported FKTs?
Yeah, I think so. Inherently, there's like less of an overlap into maybe the ultra running community too, and with a foot in a number of different communities, it quickly becomes less relatable and more of the backpacking style. So I think it reaches different audiences and things too, but I don't know. I think that the AT sort of transcends some of that as well, because there's so many people that are familiar with it that it can be more of this story connected to why I want to do it, because the trail saved my life and stuff, and then turn around 9 years later raising money for the Trevor Project and stuff like that. So I think that there's maybe different pockets of people or interests or how it kind of disseminates out into the world. But yeah, I'd say different reception, but I don't know, just very different experience. It's hard to know too much, because my girlfriend Allison just ran social media, and I probably only interacted with a handful of people through text and stuff throughout the whole thing. So I don't totally know how it was received or anything, or I don't know how any of the real, I mean, I think I'm like crying in a couple of reels, so I don't know. I've never looked at comments or anything on that. I just kind of let it live there and march on. But yeah, I don't have a ton of perspective actually.
What did you think about all the AT attempts this year, Tara? Obviously, there were a whole bunch of people coming after your record, you know, and then all the people out there doing self-supported as well.
I just first want to say I don't know. I didn't look back at like previous FKT of the Year awards, but like I'm stoked to see two East Coast FKTs getting FKT of the Year. That's so awesome. I love the East Coast, and I think everyone should go experience the Whites or the Long Trail or the Southeast, the Smokies. It's just so magical. And so anyone listening, you should definitely go out east. But there were so many people going after different FKTs on the East Coast, and you know, a lot of people, well, notably two, John Kelly and Christian Morgan, were going after the AT supported. But you know, that's not only what there was self-supported, and so many, I mean, there was Sarah and Lila and Jeff going for self-supported. It was just so great to see so many people out there. I was following every day. I was following everyone's attempt. I think I'm excited that the AT is just, I don't think it's growing in popularity. I just think people are just realizing how magical it is, and the amount of FKTs out there, it really speaks to it.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, were you watching a lot of the FKTs before you started out on the AT, or were you kind of just focusing on your training?
Yeah, none of them. I was trying to have things in place to disappear for a month and a half. So yeah, I didn't watch too much of them. Mostly just played catch up during my couple weeks of downtime after I finished. Yeah, and I think too, preparing and going into these, I do better when I call it a shortcut, but it's not really like taking someone else's plan and applying it to myself. I don't think that works, or it doesn't feel like it adds to it. Like, I feel like I get so much better at something if I have to go through the planning process from start to finish. And then maybe it's like a check your work or check your plan against what someone else has done in the past or something. But that just made me kind of think through all the places on the trail, resupplies, distances, how much I wanted to carry, water situation. It made me pay attention to the granular details versus following someone else's perception or idea or what they plan for their body to do. And so that was a big thing, and kind of how I like to treat all the FKTs is maybe it's more work, but you show up with more knowledge and more preparation. And so I kind of intentionally didn't follow too much going on the AT before I was out there.
You guys have both been doing this for a long time now, been involved in the sport. What do you think about the growth of FKT and where it's headed, and also where you see your role in that growth and where it's heading? Tara, do you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just growing as more people are doing bigger FKTs. I think it had like significant growth in 2020, obviously, but I think it's just like, it's growing. People are starting to put FKTs in their, like, more so in the ultra scene, I feel like, these days. But I see like ultra runners putting like an FKT in their schedule. And also I'm seeing like brands putting like a bonus for doing an FKT, which is awesome. It encourages people to go out and do kind of this solo adventure. I personally would love to see more growth with women doing overall FKTs. I've said this so many times, but we just have this special gift of endurance, and we can do these. We have a great fatigue resistance, and, you know, men have been really encouraged in athletics and in running for so long, and women are playing catch up, and we're playing catch up really quickly. And I just want to see women like go for those FKTs, and I'm seeing it. I'm getting tagged in things, and I see women going for these overall FKTs, and they're getting them, and that's so exciting. But just continuing like for those premium routes too, just go for that really tough goal. You just don't know if something is possible if you don't do it, or if you don't even try, like you just don't know if it's possible. And that's like the growth I'm hoping, is women just going for those overall FKTs and maybe like anything 200 plus miles.
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of my things I really loved seeing over the years since I got into this, is it's still not equal, but there's more and more women doing these multi-day FKTs. You know, I love seeing that growth. Definitely. Jeff, how about you?
Yeah, I think both of you are so influential, and I think it's driven a lot of really healthy growth in this, going after this thing that resets this thing of like, I don't know, I think a lot of times growing up, it's like this failure is such a dramatic, terrible thing, but it's like, go after this with the intent of see if it's possible or what you can get out of yourself. And I think you guys have both really pushed the sport and the inclusivity and the acceptance of kind of newer people coming in and trying to measure themselves. And I think the other side of it is that FKTs have grown. And I think it helps spread sort of the use and the, I don't know, ideas of different routes and things out there. It's such a fragmented internet to even figure out where to go on things, but FKTs just provide all these routes in one place that you can try and measure yourself, whether it's a premier route or something else, that just gives people this healthy challenge to work towards. And whether it's huge multi-day, or you can only fit something in on a Saturday afternoon with a 3-hour max effort or something, I think it's such a healthy goal that doesn't have to be in that organized sports or have to pay for an entry or something like that. It just is this challenge out there for adults, or I guess kids too, but that is lacking in a lot of adulthood, of barrier to entry versus going after something, whether it's huge or not, it can just be someone's big goal. And I think that's huge. I think it's so important to have these goals that are really hard and difficult to work towards. And FKTs can provide that no matter what it means to the world. It's very personal choice on going after something like this. And the real possibility of failure makes them even more exciting to go after, and just really, I think, probably promotes a lot of bravery by people of putting themselves out there and trying for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really interesting point too, is that there is this social conditioning of mustn't fail at all costs. And to ensure that we do that, we tend to live well within our comfort level, well within our bubble. And, you know, it takes a certain person to be willing to be like, I'm stepping outside this bubble and maybe I'll fail and that's okay. And it takes an even more different person to be able to do that on a public stage like you guys do, like on FKTs, putting it out there on social media and being like, hey, I'm going for this thing. Like, Tara, you're going for these overall records that are incredibly stout when you're going for them as a woman trying to take down men's records. And Jeff, you're going after long standing, incredible records, and you're doing it very publicly and being like, hey, you know, you both succeeded, but if you had failed, it would be out there for everyone. And I think that that's a very valuable role to play and to have on social media, as this willingness to challenge yourself and willingness to say, hey, you know what? There's value in putting yourself out beyond your comfort zone. And, you know, it's okay to not succeed all of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've failed a lot of times. So anyone out there, it is okay to fail. I've publicly failed. It's fine. You can rebound.
Once you get the first failure out of the way, it's easy past there. Just fail once.
Fail once. Tara Dowler. That's a perfect quote.
It's good because I feel like you aren't pushing yourself enough if you're never failing or feeling like failure is an option, a possibility. I would love to hear your overall takeaways from your FKT this year or from just 2025 in general. Tara, I know you just had a documentary come out, like a mini doc about your year. And maybe if you could just give us a sense of your overall highs and lows takeaways from the long trail and 2025 in general.
Oh, yeah. 2025 has been jam-packed year. I think like it started with just the confidence that I got from the AT that I could push these limits. So I was going into 2025 just like feeling like I'm going to just push it and see what happens. Let's just go all the way. Let's just see what happens. And, you know, it went really well with my races. And, you know, I had sickness and I had lows. I had personal issues come up and just a lot of like really tough life stuff. But then, and like also with racing Western States and Hard Rock, I was going to do Hard Rock, or I wasn't going to do Hard Rock. Jeez. I was number one on the wait list, but going into Western, I had some sickness. And so those didn't quite go the way I thought they would go, which is unfortunate. So I've had those failures. And also with Mammoth. And I think it's just been like a year, a roller coaster of a year with emotional stuff and, you know, the highs of a Javelina course record, which I never thought was possible, and getting second at Black Canyon and then going through sickness. It was just like it's quite the year. And then obviously the long trail, we're talking about the long trail, like how great and how beautiful that time was. I miss FKTs, like those long FKTs when I'm like, I haven't done them for a while and it feels like a while, but what has it been? It's only been like, what, 4 months? I think it's just been been a roller coaster of a year. And I hope that documentary was awesome and I felt seen, and they did a great job of explaining the year and explaining my life, what was going on. And I think it's a perfect representation of the year and friendship and hardships and all of that.
Jeff, how about you?
Wow. I think it just showed me that even though I'm not in my 20s without enough money to afford a car or bouncing around hitchhiking and working jobs to just be able to be outside and go after these more, that if I want to do something in my current life, I can, bad enough that I can still do it. Like it took a lot of preparing and stuff and definitely training, but that's the fun part. But just organizing my life in a way that I didn't have to leave it all behind or blow it up to go off for 45 days and I could come back to a life that was still intact rather than after a lot of my 20s and multi-month adventures and thousands of miles, I just had to rebuild every single time. So I think it just showed me if you want something bad enough and you like where you're at, like they don't have to be exclusive. You just might have to work a little harder and you can maintain these things and go after them. It might not be tomorrow, but I think it just showed me the power of wanting to do something for the right reasons and doing everything possible to make that happen. And that kind of was a success that I felt just standing on Katahdin. Like, I did it. I'm here. I get to see what I can do and what's possible. And plenty of things went wrong, but the gift and ability to actually go after it and to get that ability to problem solve and push through all those things showed me that all the work and things going into it just make it worth it to have the opportunity to go do these things. And hopefully that can resonate with someone on every checkpoint and every little bit that it's hard building up to something, whether it's training or life or family or something. Those are just like measures on how bad do you want to go after what that goal is. And it's kind of how I felt. Like, I got lost my apartment like a month before the AT. And so I moved all my stuff into storage and just bounced around and went to the East Coast and stuff. And it was just like, I want to have the opportunity to try this so bad that I will figure it out. And I think that was a really cool lesson to continually learn building up to even starting it.
Now, Jeff, you wrote a book about your calendar, your Triple Crown. Do you have any thoughts or plans of writing a book about the AT?
Wow. Yeah, maybe, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, coming soon to a bookstore near you. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think so. It's just, yeah, I'm not in, the writing is not flowing out of me at the moment. So
That's TBD. Fair. That's fair. That's fair. I know when I set my PCT record, people were like, we want a book. And it took me 8 years to write a book or something. I was like, okay, now I'm ready to write about it. Like, it can take a while. Tara, what about you? Have you ever thought about writing about some of your experiences?
Yeah, one's in the works.
Ooh.
Specifically about the AT.
Exciting.
Yeah. And we hope to add, I have someone that's helping me, and we hope to add a little, some little blurbs about other FKTs like the Long Trail.
Nice. Awesome. Well, congratulations. I had no inside knowledge on that. So that's really exciting to hear. I look forward to reading that.
It's so fun to like go back. I mean, the AT was like the pinnacle of my life always. And so like going back and like reliving it every day mm-hmm. is so fun.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to reading that. That's going to be exciting. Before we close up here, is there anything either of you would like to talk about or share either about your FKT or about FKT of the year or life in general? Anything you'd like to share with our audience?
Same thing I've been talking about. I think women should just continue to go after these overall FKTs or just, you know, it doesn't have to be an overall FKT. Just push your perceived limits and, you know, go for that first FKT if you haven't done one, or, you know, endurance effort, whatever. Yeah, I think that's just the drum I'll keep beating is the women and endurance. We are exceptional.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Totally. Yeah. And I think big thing I want to hit on is there's so much community around all these trails, whether it's maintaining them or managing them or lobbying for them or all these people that are involved that aren't just doing the trails or the FKTs or the routes and stuff. And I've found a lot of fulfillment, enjoyment, and connection to different people involved in that through volunteering and stuff. And it's just such a unique way to meet other trail users, because I think it's easy to see or think that, or not realize that we live in such a niche and there's like mountain bikers and horseback riders and hunters and hikers and any gears, all kinds of things that use these places that we really love. And I think continuing to foster and accept and meet other trail users will just make it more protected, more cohesive, and just a space that we can all have for a long time, because these trails and these routes and these things mean different things to people, all different people that are out on them. And I think that's so cool, but also something that I think we just need to keep an open mind about, because there's so many ways to use the same trail and get fulfillment. And it doesn't all have to be for the reason of moving fast or quickly or a view or anything. It can totally be to just limit the sensory overload and just process things out there too. And I just think that's such a magical thing about the outdoors.
You both are such great ambassadors for the sport and for the outdoors in general. And congratulations again. I was really happy to chat with you guys today, and I look forward to seeing what's next from both of you.
Thanks, Heather.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks again, Tara and Jeff, for coming on the show. You can read about their FKTs on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow their adventures on Instagram. You can follow Tara at tara.dower and Jeff at thefreeoutside.com.